It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As state lawmakers weigh new mandates for testing evidence in sexual assault cases, we examine policy priorities of a nonprofit that advocates on behalf of survivors and agencies that provide victim services. Share your priorities. Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ian Henderson is Policy and Systems Director for the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Ian, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me again.
Good morning. So with the state budget coming together, what do you hope lawmakers do with state funding levels for victim services?
Yeah, well, I think it's really useful to talk about, with respect to state funding, kind of where we are in terms of funding of sexual assault services in Wisconsin as a whole, because that really, I think, puts into clarity the need for state funding. Right now, most funding of sexual assault victim services in Wisconsin is federal funding. And so the biggest source of funding is VOCA, or Victims of Crime Act funding. That's a little over $5 million a year going in to fund sexual assault services in the state in Wisconsin. And we know significant reductions are coming in that funding source. The way that funding is administered at the federal level, it's surcharge-based funding, meaning, right, that fines and fees associated with people or corporations convicted of federal crimes, those funds get deposited in a big pot of money called the Crime Victims Fund, which then get dispersed out to the states. And deposits have dropped in recent years. And so DOJ, Wisconsin DOJ, who administers that funding, back in 2018, there was a high of about $58 million. Well, that dropped to $18 million in 2021 and has leveled off around $24 million per year recently. So we know reductions are coming, and we were able to sort of hold off, and Governor Evers held off those reductions by allocating some American Rescue Plan funds. Mm. So that kind of stemmed the tide, but we know significant cuts are coming.
Governor Evers' budget, though, does establish additional grant programs for victim services. What do you see there as steps forward for survivors in the governor's budget as proposed?
Yeah, no, the governor makes a really significant investment in funding sexual assault services. And so we're really appreciative. And I think the need is really great based on what I've just talked about in terms of those reductions in federal funding. And so the state funding, which is the Sexual Assault Victim Services Program, right? That is state funding, it's state tax dollars. That's been static at a little over $2 million per year for the past probably close to a decade. And so with the reductions in federal funding, programs are really experiencing a dramatic need, right? So they're anticipating not only those reductions coming, but they are experiencing reductions in local funding sources. And so those, along with staffing constraints, right, that's creating barriers for services for survivors right now, right? And the need is really acute. And so the governor proposed increasing funding for the state Sexual Assault Victim Services Program by $5 million per year. So that's a really historic investment in sexual assault victim services funding.
Can we step back for just a moment? As you say, you anticipate these federal funding reductions coming. Why is that? Is that due to pandemic era or something else?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think what we have heard from our partners at the national level, right? As I mentioned, that VOCA funding is surcharge-based funding, right? It's not, so it's basically that pot of money depends on how much goes into it each year. And so I think there may be what we've heard anecdotally at the federal level is that under the previous administration, there was maybe a less emphasis on prosecuting white-collar crime. There might be, and those can often be associated with high fees and fines. And so just deposits were decreasing in recent years into that Crime Victims Fund, and that means there's less money available for states.
We're talking about legislative priorities of a Wisconsin group advocating for survivors of sexual assault. Ian Henderson is here from the Coalition Against Sexual Assault. You can join in with your questions and experiences and thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Ian, you say that the need is acute. Where is it most needed? Where are those funding dollars most, you know, best spent and most needed?
Yeah, I think that sexual assault victim services grant program is really critical. It is a flexible source of funding, meaning programs can not only use that funding for direct services, but also prevention and education activities. Those activities are a little more limited with some of the federal dollars. So the SAVES program is really critical. And I think what programs are and survivors are experiencing are barriers to services, right? Most programs are saying the demand for their services is going up. At the same time, they're facing these funding restrictions, both at the federal and local levels. And so what we're hearing from programs is that there's waiting lists for critical services like counseling, therapy, and support groups. One program has reported in Wisconsin that the waiting list or the waiting time for therapy services in their community is 8 to 9 months for their clients.
Wow.
That's significant. And so also where programs are saying they're reducing their public out and awareness and support group activities, which again, right, if you're facing funding constrictions, it makes sense that programs are going to be prioritizing the direct services, but that has an effect, and they're able to do less public education and awareness activities.
I wonder, since a lot of the grant funding is filtered through the State Justice Department, how closely does your organization work with Justice on services for victims?
Yeah, we work very closely with DOJ. I think, right, in addition to being the administrator of some of those important funding sources that we've just been talking about, WCASA has partnered with DOJ on really as a funder and as a technical assistance provider, our organization strengthening services and programs across the state. We also sit on the Attorney General's Sexual Assault Response Team, or AG SART, which is a multidisciplinary state-level team that's looking at improving criminal and medical system responses for survivors. So that includes some of the work we did with sexual assault kits that I know we've talked about in the past, but also looking at it, improving law enforcement training, resources for prosecutors. So I think that's another example of our real close partnership with the Department of Justice.
And how do providers of victim services demonstrate whether the services they're providing are effective, whether they are, that the return on investment is there, so to speak, because this is funding from tax dollars?
Right. No, it's a really good question. And I think we are really fortunate to have on our staff an evaluator. And so her name is Megan, and she is able to provide technical assistance to programs on their evaluation. Because you're right? That's an important, oftentimes deliverable, or that you're measuring what you're doing. And so we have to do that at a coalition, and we have a staff person helping us with that. But we're also able to provide that technical support to programs to help evaluate their services. And you're right, that is an important function. I mean, not only just for good stewards of tax dollars, but I think programs want to know how they're doing, right? And want to look at evaluating and modifying their services to really suit and meet the needs of survivors.
Ian Henderson, heads up legal and system services at the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, join in on the work of advocating on behalf of survivors and the impact of victim services. Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We examine the policy work to stop sexual violence and programs to improve support for survivors and hold perpetrators accountable. Call in at any point in the discussion. The number to join in with your question is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ian Henderson is here, Policy and Systems Director at the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Ian, let's talk about sexual assault evidence kits. New laws in effect since last year are hoping to prevent the backlogs of sexual assault evidence from accumulating ever again. Are those laws achieving their goals so far?
Yeah, I think so. Excuse me. So far, I think what we're hearing is really positive things. And I think by putting in those specific requirements and time frames, right, that gives survivors and the people who handle those kits, whether that be forensic nurses or law enforcement who's collecting the kits, clear parameters on what they're supposed to do and in what time. And I think the other piece that's really important for survivors, not only having those expectations, but the creation of a kit tracking system, right, that allows them to anonymously in a time and place of their choosing to access information about where their kit is and where it is in the process. So I think those two things going hand in hand, really important to prevent a future backlog of kits, as you mentioned.
That barcode tracking system, it went live nearly a year ago, allowing, as you mentioned, survivors of sexual assault to log on to that database using a barcode and view the status of the kit as it goes through the process, the testing process. What have you noticed as a result of this system launch?
Well, I think, prior to the creation of a kit tracking system, right, a survivor was dependent on other people for accessing information. And I mean, and that's not unusual necessarily in terms of survivors who are navigating systems, right? To have to rely on other people to share information, right? And most of the time that's not a problem. But the benefit of the kit tracking system, right, is that that power is given to the survivor, right? They are able to, instead of having to pick up the phone or send an email and reach out and saying, "Hey, can you let me know where my kit is?" The survivor can do that at the time and place of their choosing. And I think, right, sexual violence at its root is about a loss of control, but someone taking control over someone's body, right, and violating their auto bodily autonomy in the most, really personal way. And so it may sound really small, but the ability for to restore control and to give a survivor the ability to access that information at a time and place of their choosing, right? That's part of restoring control back to a survivor.
If a survivor doesn't wish to report the sexual assault to law enforcement, that kit is still sent to the state crime lab and it's stored, as I understand, for a decade.
Correct.
How important is that?
Well, that's again when you talk about options, right? Another part about what we call trauma-informed response, right? Which is really, again, at its base is like, again, restoring some control back to that person. That option to have a kit collected, even if that person is not sure that they want to report at a particular time, right? They can have the evidence collected and it can be sent from the hospital to the crime lab where it'll be stored for, as you said, for 10 years, right? That gives that person time to change their mind if they want to or if they don't, right? But again, it's an option, right? And I think that's really important.
We've talked on our show about sexual assault nurse examiners, the shortage of these registered nurses who've completed this additional education to help survivors of sexual assault. What do you see there from nurse examiners, and do you see the shortage as well?
Sure. I mean, it's certainly something that we know survivors and programs who are supporting survivors are experiencing, right? Where same programs may close or curtail or restrict their hours. And so I think absolutely that has an impact on survivors. A survivor may have to travel 100 miles to get a forensic exam. And so I think that I know is a priority not only of the Attorney General Sexual Assault Response Team, but a priority of the Department of Justice, that the agency that really coordinates the sexual assault nurse examiner training. And I think, it's also looking at other models of forensic nursing. Are there more, and I know these are things that are being examined in the state, right? Mobile SANE services, looking at services outside of hospitals, right? I think the need and the challenges are well documented in terms of SANE sustainability of forensic nursing. So I think we've got to be looking at all options, whether and not just at those services being located at hospitals.
Do you see grant programs that help people, help victims be able to get the care they need, the health care they need? Is that a piece of the grants?
I mean, absolutely. So the funding for sexual assault victim services, right, that we started talking about this morning, really is funding for direct services to survivors. And those advocates, as the term we use in the field, well, the people who are working directly and supporting survivors, right, are trained to give survivors a range of options and to really be there to help them navigate the system. But really, the survivor is the one who's directing that, right? And so advocates can say, You can get a forensic exam and this person can collect evidence. You can just get your healthcare needs met. But right, that person being a kind of a first entry point, they're not always a first entry point. But if they are, right, they can offer those options for survivors and then help them navigate systems, right? And they're also confidential resources, which is really important.
We're talking about the policy and legislative priorities of a group that advocates for survivors of sexual assault. Ian Henderson is with the Coalition Against Sexual Assault. You can join in along the way and bring up your question. Call in at 800-642-1234. Ian, let's turn to the time it takes to process the kits. This year, lawmakers introduced bills that would establish deadlines for testing sexual assault evidence at state crime labs. One proposal would set a 60-day deadline, another a 90-day deadline. I understand your organization supports the 60-day deadline. Can you go into that?
Sure. Yeah, I think again, I mean, at a basic level, we're supportive of having a time frame for the crime lab to test sexual assault kits. It was kind of the one piece that was not included in the legislation we've been talking about, right? The time frames were really for when kits had to be collected by law enforcement and then sent into the crime lab. So the legislation, there's one bill that's passed the assembly, that's AB 36. That legislation was developed with Representative Steffen and Senator James and the Department of Justice, right? So it that legislation had was worked on with those respective entities, and I think because of that, we're supporting that. And I think the fact that it's passed the assembly is really helpful. I think what we've heard from other states and what we've heard from the crime lab is that a 90-day time frame without additional resources may not be feasible. Other states, what we've heard is that they've put in time frames that maybe did not have the resources allocated to meet that, and then that creates maybe heightened expectations for survivors that their kit will be processed in the time that it isn't feasible. And when we think about all the things the crime lab has to test, right, sexual violence is one of them, but there are a variety of crimes, including homicide and other things that, right, we want this to be an informed process. And I think we would be supportive of something like 90 days, but if what we're hearing from the crime lab is they feel they need additional resources, then we think that makes sense as well. So we just want to support legislation that is likely to be enacted, that creates a time frame that's realistic for survivors, and that makes sense for those who are having to to test the kits. And I think the legislation that passed the assembly earlier this spring, again, had that input from not only the legislature, but the crime lab and the Department of Justice.
Do you get the sense that the state crime labs are adequately staffed and funded to fulfill a 60-day deadline?
Yeah, I would have to, defer to the DOJ and crime lab on that one. I don't want to speak for them. I think the fact that, right, that legislation and the amendments that were included and that were passed reflect the input of the Department of Justice. So I think I'll leave it at that. But I don't want to speak for the crime lab in terms of what they feel in terms of their adequate resources. I think this, again, reflects that kind of compromise approach.
And so, if we do see something like this in state law, what happens if the state fails to meet its deadline, be it 60-day or 90-day?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know that there's a I don't think in the legislation there's any sort of penalty or any
Penalty.
sort of
Okay.
consequence. I think, right, for survivors that would create, I think this, disappointment is probably a mild
Sure.
word, but like sort of deflated expectations, right? A feeling like they were told something was going to happen in a certain time and then that didn't happen, right? And I think that could lead to some survivors feeling like the system isn't working for me. And so I think that's why you want time frames that feel realistic and that are resourced. Again, I think from a 90-day perspective, we would be fine with that. But if what we're hearing is the crime lab doesn't feel they can do that without additional resources, then that would be the tension there, I think.
We only have about 20 seconds left here, but aside from direct funding of victim services, what other parts of the state budget are you monitoring that could affect survivors?
Yeah, I think, there's a whole range of things. We were, paid family leave came out. I mean, that has absolutely a way to benefit survivors. That was disappointing that was pulled out. Also pulling out the funding for the missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives. Native and Indigenous women experienced sexual violence rates at some of the highest rates in the population, and so we were disappointed to see those things be pulled out. So, but we're, we try and take a broad view of about of how and the resources and the supports for survivors. And so, while we're focusing particularly on sexual assault victim services, we're monitoring a wide range of things in the budget.
Ian, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me this morning.
Ian Henderson, Policy and Systems Director at the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault. This is a State Capitol Report. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.